My job is just to play ball, and that's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. We got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
My job is just to play ball, and that's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus and Minus with my co-host, that is Matt Barros, who is in sweltering heat. His power was knocked out. I'm not sure if there's looting on the street, the lights are down. How's things going down there, Barros?
I could use a hand fan right now. I mean, I have the vapors, as they say.
you're a tough one, though. You'll get through it.
We did have power restored, which means I didn't even have the AC on, but it's my refrigerator, Tim, that I'm most concerned about at the moment.
We care. Do not let your food spoil. We need you healthy. 49ers need you healthy. I was just reading your story. I was not down. There are many other things happening this week in Bay Area sports, but I'm reading the Barros recount of 102-degree weather in Santa Clara for practice. Something like that is ridiculous. That's hotter, way hotter than it ever was for training camp during the summer when it's supposed to be hot.
Yeah, no, and you felt it. I mean, the heat was, the sun was just searing. And I think the 49ers took that into account today. Shanahan noting that, you know, they've got the Cardinals game. And then a few days later, they go up to Seattle for that game. So they're thinking about that now. And so it was a very lengthy list of guys who didn't practice today. But I think some of that was done out of an abundance of caution and sort of forward thinking about A, the weather, and B, these two games in 4 days that they're going to play. So there was no Fred Warner, no George Kittle, no Yetur Gross-Matos, who's now a starter. But at least with Kittle and Warner, I'm fairly certain that those guys are going to play. The Thursday practice, that's always more telltale than the Wednesday session. We'll have to find out tomorrow who does and who doesn't play. But I would say that, you know, based on the fact that Kittle played through that game on Sunday, largely with the rib injury, certainly the second half. And then Warner, I mean, he doesn't seem addled in any way. I mean, you saw him kind of cheering the team on the sideline, full throat and jumping up and down. It certainly doesn't seem like a long-term injury. They obviously were cautious about it against the Patriots, though. Doesn't seem like a guy that wants to miss any games at all, though.
Division game. But, no, there is that quick turnaround, though, and the Seattle game might be super important. I would check on Warner. That one I'm not sure. You know, we'll see. We're recording this Wednesday evening. It will be posted, I believe, Thursday morning very quickly. We'll see if Warner is practicing, if they're all practicing. A very, very important day to see if guys are practicing that pretty much determines if they're going to play on Sunday. Anything else? Ricky Pearsall, who you've been saying could have his practice window open. If you start practicing, if you're on IR to start the season, you have three. Once you start the window, you have 3 weeks before the team has to decide whether to activate you or not. But I know Pearsall activation. I guess there's not a lot of clarity there. Obviously, he's gone through a gunshot wound. This is so clear. Obviously, there's no rush. You don't want to push him out there. I kind of thought he would be, his window was open, but I guess, you know, I mean, always good to be cautious in a situation like this.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle Shanahan offered no details whatsoever on what it was that is keeping him back. And I don't know whether it's the wound itself. Obviously, it was miraculous, and he recovered from it quickly, but he still had a bullet go through the wall of his chest and out his back. I don't know how long it takes the pectoral muscle to repair. That could be part of it. You know, there's the mental side of it, which by all accounts, Pearsall has handled really well. You know, that's what the his teammates say when you ask about Pearsall. They talk about how positive he is all the time. I talked to Tabor Pepper, whose locker is right next to Pearsall's. He's the long snapper, very thoughtful guy. And Pepper was kind of saying that, and also saying, but you know, I can't imagine sort of the mental hurdles that someone needs to go through, not only to recover from an event like that, not just the wound, it's the incident that you're recovering from, but then get back out onto the field and play football. And on top of all that, this is a guy that didn't practice a lot this summer, even before the shooting occurred. So there's layers to this. So I guess it's not all that surprising. We have been watching Pearsall out there on a side field, you know, catching passes from a trainer, running routes. He looks good, looks sharp. Obviously, there was no lower body issues at all. So he was able to kind of keep his conditioning up throughout it. You know, the question when he does come back is, how does he fit in? You've got three right now healthy receivers. And then I think that there is room for Pearsall to play after those three guys. It's just a matter of, you know, who does he fill in for? What's he comfortable with? I'm not exactly sure what the timing on that would be.
It's going to be really hard to jump over Jacob Cowing, clearly.
What about your guy, Ronnie Bell?
That actually happened. It's amazingly, he got deactivated last game, but they still don't want to play Jacob Cowing. They really don't want to play Jacob Cowing. Whatever, maybe there's clearly reasons for it. Maybe there we will find out about them, or maybe he's just not able to do it. But I'm just saying, from what they clearly refuse to play him, it's not like there's the fourth receiver spot's locked into stone. Like Pearsall might walk right into that. So we shall see. And he's not practicing this week. Any other injury stuff that you're kind of monitoring? I mean, Christian McCaffrey, we're still kind of dotting. And what do you make of this? Okay, it went from one leg, now it's both legs. I think Lynch kind of said that already. Where do you think any of that is? And I obviously it affects him because he's a great player, right? I mean, it does affect them. We talk about this red zone stuff. They're not great in the red zone. They have been in the past. The guy scored, 20 touchdowns last year?
Do
you think they're having to adjust things, like, for sure, knowing, you know, this guy might not be back for 3-4 more weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the mark of this 49ers team to begin 2024. I think they're still trying to figure out who they are or how to operate without Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I think the Cardinals games were a great, you know, point about what he meant to this team. He was great against the Cardinals, scored a lot of touchdowns. I have to tally it up, but it was, you know, more than six in those games. So that's a good example of what he meant. I think the red zone issues that they're having right now are absolutely traceable to his absence. I think third down is, I think the fact that they don't have a lot of yak yards. You know, teams are now kind of focusing on who's the next biggest threat. And in their minds, the next biggest threat is Brandon Ayuk, and they're taking that away. And to his credit, Brock Purdy is figuring out, you know, another avenue to go in. And that's Juwan Jennings, that's Deebo Samuel. We're getting a lot of Jordan Mason. You can't overlook him and his importance. He's just not as dynamic as McCaffrey is, and he's not a threat in the passing game. So that's the long and short of it. I mean, it's so obvious. It's right in front of our noses, but it explains a lot about what's happening to the 49ers right now. And as far as his medical condition, again, Shanahan decided that he was just going to button up and be difficult today and didn't really say anything about what exactly this ramp-up period that McCaffrey is now getting into entails. McCaffrey was in the locker room and, you know, walking around without any issues and seemed okay enough, but that was the case when he was dealing with this tendonitis in early September as well. So nothing to gauge there, but you know, I think there is a positive in that he is at least kind of undertaking this ramp up period right now. My guess is, you know, we're talking about the week after the bye. Yeah. So early November for a possible Christian McCaffrey return.
I mean, while the 49ers, not shockingly, did not take my advice and sign a veteran running back, I explained it to them. I looked at the schedule and I said, You have one running back that you trust, Jordan Mason. Understand, running backs do get hurt. We have known this to happen with 49er running backs. There is a game on Sunday, and then there is a quick flight to Seattle. You will not have practice time next week. Should you need to work a running back into the system, have the running back on the roster now. It doesn't mean he's going to be a great running back. Just have somebody who's ready to go in case you need someone to have practices under the belt and be the running back, or running back 1B in Seattle. Nope, not doing that. I would have signed Jerick McKinnon. I would have Matt Breida, somebody who you can say, we can give him 15 carries in a tough game, and he's not going to fumble it three times. They chose not to do that. That's not shocking after I declared it, but we shall see how that works out. If they don't have Jordan Mason, Matt Barrows, this season, it's Deebo Samuel. That's the only running back they would trust.
Deebo and Juice all day long. You know, I do think they've been in contact with Matt Breida. I don't think Matt Breida is interested at all in being on the practice squad. And I don't think Matt Breida is interested, or the 49ers want him playing special teams. That is something that their third running back right now does pretty well, Patrick Taylor Jr. That he hasn't gotten any offensive snaps. So, I mean, I would imagine that if something were to happen to Jordan Mason Sunday against Arizona, Matt Breida is the guy that comes in and probably gets a lot of snaps. The problem with that is that Matt Breida wasn't all that sharp when he came in training camp. I think he started to get back into the swing of things by the end of training camp. But you wonder, short week, I mean, it's one thing to come in and get ready for a Sunday game. This is totally different. So to your point, probably would have been smart to have that running back. I just don't think that they would know what to do with him at this point, because they do want to give Garendo carries. Garendo, you know, had the big fumble on kickoff. He also played a lot of snaps on coverage as well, both him and Taylor. And Garendo actually made a tackle on one punt return. My point being, they are getting something out of both of those guys that they probably wouldn't get with Matt Breida being on the 53-man squad.
You know, I cut Brandon Allen and I sign a running back, but that's me. I know, I realize there's reasons you don't do it. I do it just for fear of that Thursday quick turnaround. If Jordan Mason comes through healthy, he carries the ball another 25 times on Sunday and 25 times in Seattle, and they win both games, I'll say it, okay. But I just believe in having these other things ready to go at those positions, and sometimes 49ers don't. Another weird little thing, this whole – we never talked about the Brandon Ayuk practice shorts thing last week. It's weird. I think we all noted the whole negotiation to get to his contract was weird. Nobody thought, okay, it's all over. It'll never be weird between Ayuk and the 49ers again. I think we all said this is something that's going to come up again at some point. He's got his money, but – it's just a weird relationship. Isn't producing that much. Purdy's one interception yesterday was Sunday was a pass to Ayuk, not Ayuk's fault. It's just maybe a sign that the connection isn't there after 4 weeks. And now you have Davante Adams available in a trade. I don't see this possibly happening. They just don't want to do this. The cap. You know, repercussions are immense with trying to move off the IU contract this year or next year. The money, guaranteed money, all collapses onto right this moment. But Barrows, I mean, Davante Adams is a great receiver. If you can get him cheap, you want to, but I just can't see the 49ers being able to do it. I don't know, think they'd really want to do it. It's four games. They still got a long season to go with Ayuk. He's a young player. Maybe you're just getting through this bumpy time. How are you seeing this just overall with Ayuk, with potential Davante Adams, or whoever else might be happening with this position?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Davante Adams might have been discussed 45 days ago when, you know, the 49ers were looking at trades, and there was this idea of, okay, can we get a three-team trade going? Because remember, Ayuk wanted to go to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh didn't really have any receivers to send back to San Francisco. And so you get that third team, the Raiders, involved, and maybe you've got a solution to it. I'm not sure how far that got off the ground, But I agree with you. At this point, the die has been cast, and there's really no coming back from it.
I think it's a $45 million dead cap hit for the 49ers if they move Ayuk this year.
Yeah.
It's like $39 million next year. That's money you're not paying somebody. And then if you're taking Devontae Adams, guess what, folks? He's going to want a new deal, and he's going to want it to be more than $30 million a year. Really hard to see how that jigsaw puzzle works. I get
unless the Raiders want to take on some of that somehow. I don't know.
You can't shift money around, but you know, if you're Ayuk, the players almost never do it. They almost never do it. They want the team that's moving him to pay them. It's very hard. I see the logic of it football wise, maybe. Although Ayuk's way younger and he's in the system, I just don't see how it works financially for the 49ers. But I cut you off there. Sorry.
Well, I'm just talking about Ayuk and what his antics are. I mean, we watched it all summer. He did things for the cameras. He likes to be noticed, and maybe even, and I realize we're getting Freudian here, but maybe when things are going bad, he kind of wants that even more. You know, first 3 weeks, very quiet on the field. He goes out there and makes a scene with his red shorts. It's in keeping with him purposely walking across down the sideline right in front of you that first day of training camp. It's in keeping with the handshake. It's in keeping with lots of things that it's in keeping with the social media stuff. It's very much in Brandon Ayuk's playbook to do something. Now, whether that denotes, you know, some real issue with him and Shanahan, I'm not ready to go that far. He likes to be seen. Yep. And that happened again on Friday.
Very Barros like. You like to be seen. You do stuff. I sometimes just calm it down, but you know what? Let Barros be Barros. I get it. You want to wear the red shorts sometimes.
I want to wear a red cape, maybe.
No, don't do that. But no, this is going to be a recurring issue. I really do think so. And you know, maybe when he gets his first 8-catch, 2-touchdown, 140-yard game, it calms down. That has not happened. We don't know that it's going to happen. I think I'm not trying to read too much into it. I sense that Purdy's getting a little like, hey, I'm not going to just force it to him, right? There's other receivers, and it does make sense that the system says throw it to where the space is open. Don't throw it, just force it to a guy. And you know, you had the story about Ayuk being, you know, leading the league in separation. And I think, you know, you got some like kind of interesting answers on that, I think, because I think they don't think he's wide open, you know, given their route system. They think he's open because the zone is covering it up, but there's a linebacker in front of him. They don't think he's getting open. They think Juwan Jennings is getting open in their minds. It's just me reading into it. Don't aggregate me. Aggregate Barros. He's the guy. But I don't know that this is the way that negotiation went. I did not think it was a big happy family. I think we both were saying that even as they were leading up. This is not something that's going to be everybody's hugging and they love each other again. That was not the way this went. They did not like the way he, as you said, like, gathered attention on himself. Shanahan hated the fact that he thought that Ayuk was using him as a prop. Look at me, bro, hug the coach. Everybody get it on film. Kyle hates that stuff. And Ayuk didn't like the way that they negotiate. I'm going to put up both sides here. But the 49ers don't normally have this stuff, right? They have very, you know, big personalities. They do their own stuff. They, God knows, they do commercials and they do podcasts, but they don't do this stuff, right? They don't in practice. It isn't like, look at me in practice. Practice should be something relatively sacrosanct. You're on a practice field. You're fully committed to this. You're not committed to your social media presence. You're fully committed to working this, you know, scheme, working to win a game on Sunday, not to having people video you and everyone putting it out online. And I think that's a growing annoyance. And maybe their annoyance is annoying him. I'm not, you know, again, it's not all his fault. All these things have built up, but I don't see him being traded. That's why I'll just say, I don't see it. It hurts them if they trade him. Once you sign a long-term contract, you are with the player for a year or two, unless you want a massive dead cap hit. And the 49ers are not in a position where they can take dead cap hits like that because you want the player, right? You're taking a dead cap hit and you don't have the player. You want the player and you need the money. So I just want to talk that one through. Although, well, Devontae Adams is a great player. He would fit any system.
Yeah.
He would fit the 49ers. But he'd also want $32 million a year. Like that they would then be committed to him. Like these are all things you have to be understanding of the way the cap hits. When you sign a player to a big deal and the money's in the form of guarantees, you are pretty much married to that person, unless you want to do the Denver trading Russell Wilson and taking massive cap hit or all these other things. That's not been the 49ers way of doing it. Now, you don't do that if you want to win a Super Bowl. You do that if you're rebuilding and try to win a Super Bowl in 3 years. Any other issues we got? Barris, what do you see happening? I'll take the Cardinals game, and then we're going to have that quick turnaround in the Seahawks game. I've always viewed these two games as a set. They've already 0-1 in the division. You cannot start throwing away a bunch of division games. How do you see these two games kind of one after the other working out?
Yeah, I think the 49ers totally agree with you that they see these two games as a pair. It'll be interesting. I mean, the Seahawks game is a little bit more interesting just because of where they sit in the division right now and the fact that they were on Monday night the other night. And so we all got to watch them, but I'm really looking forward to how the 49ers address those three wide receivers that the Seahawks have, because they're going through a transition right now with their third cornerback. It was more Renardo Green versus Isaac Yiadom against the Patriots. And maybe that was Patriots related. They decided, okay, this would be a really nice game for Renardo to get in and get some snaps. But that was the first game where he got more snaps than the veteran. Does that continue against Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, and then against DK Metcalf and that impressive trio, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith, and Njigba, who all had big games, just not enough in Detroit. But that'll be a nice test for the rookie if indeed he is getting the lion's share of the snaps by then.
And if Hufanga isn't ready, I mean, I guess he practiced today, so maybe he will be ready. But again, he might not make it through both games. Quick turnaround. We keep saying it on artificial turf on Thursday, the next Thursday. Malik Mustafa got to start on Sunday. There's two rookies in your five DBs there, if that's the way it works, that and against the Patriots, it does not matter. They can't hurt you deep. But we saw what happened against the Rams' second line receivers, Tutu Atwell and Marcus Robinson, just catching the ball deep on these guys. And we obviously saw what happened with Justin Jefferson the previous week when the 49ers lost to the Vikings. Yeah, let's see. These are receivers that can make plays, and we know Kyler Murray can get the ball deep. He can move around even when you get pressure on him. And I say this over and over again, he would drive the 49ers crazy in his early years. And the one guy who could get him was Buckner. DeForest Buckner could get him. No one else could get him. DeForest Buckner he's on injury reserve for the Indianapolis Colts right now. So, let's see who can chase him around. If Warner is not at top speed, that will be a problem. That is somebody who could chase him around. Dre Greenlaw could chase him around, obviously on injury reserve. Let's see how they just match up physically against this. And the 49ers have been giving up some deep plays. What does Nick Sorensen have in store for that? They did not look good. The Cardinals did not look good losing to Washington, just destroyed. We'll see what they are on Sunday. I imagine it'll be better than that. But pretty good offense, probably a bad defense. 49ers tend to do very well against those teams. And then they got the Seattle game. And I think these two games, they need to win both to feel good about winning division. They lose to Seattle. Seattle is then with two or three games ahead of them with a game in hand. That's going to be a little rough for the 49ers looking at that division title.
You mentioned your guy, Malik Mustafa. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, the two weak points in the defense in four games have been the third cornerback and the second linebacker, Devondre Campbell, who's just not good in coverage. And I'm just wondering, their strength right now seems to be more at safety than it is linebacker, and whether the team would consider using more three safety sets and having Mustafa, who is a, you know, big body guy, very physical guy, good around the line of scrimmage.
Downhill guy.
Down around the line of scrimmage more. That might be too much to ask for a rookie who's, you know, trying to learn safety his rookie year. But he's a sharp guy. I mean, we talked about this, about the they were very mum on gold helmet guys this year. They didn't want to say who the gold helmet guys were. But if I had to bet on who the gold helmet guy was, I'd say it's your guy, Tim's guy, Malik Mustafa. He's probably smart enough, you know, savvy enough to do it. This is all until Dre Greenlaw gets back, which, again, is probably going to be early November, right after the bye week. But, you know, this has been a weak point to this this point in the season. And it didn't really show up against the Patriots because – it was the Patriots, but you know, some of these more savvy, more versatile offenses that they're going to be facing are going to try to exploit the same things.
Yeah. I love that idea. Three safety, three corner, one linebacker set would be I mean, other teams do it. Other teams do it. Can you stop the run? That would be the question. You would not. You would be at some amount of risk going against James Conner on Sunday with the Cardinals and Kenneth Walker on, you know, Seattle would try to run at you. I don't know that Devontae Campbell's the stopper on running plays, but he's good at it. That's what he's where specialty is, especially if you don't have Warner, then I'm not sure you want to start messing around with taking another linebacker off the field. But I like the idea because it's faster. It's a faster lineup. It's can cover the field, go side to side, and they are missing that without Greenlaw for sure. And I think Mustafa's like, he plays like a linebacker. He really does. I mean, he's about the same size as Warner, right? Probably shorter than Warner.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think pound wise, and I mean, coming up to the line, he hits about as hard as Warner. I love that idea. You're getting your, you know, isn't get your best players on the field, get your best 11. He's probably one of your best 11. You Hufanga and him. I mean, Hufanga, we know, plays like a linebacker. Barros, that's a very.
I knew you would go for this. Do I hear a column coming?
We'll see what happens. I've been writing a lot of columns. If you haven't noticed, Barros,
I have noticed. Yes,
I write a lot of Giants columns.
The San Francisco Standard is getting its money's worth.
They are. It's been a lot, so I'm going to take a little breather for the columns for a little while because it has been a lot. But when people are saying, yeah, I'm just looking at it. Like you've written like every day for like 2 weeks. I go, it's basically been like that. It's where the news has been. But I do like putting your best 11 on. It seems like a very Brandon Staley thing, right? Like just gets like Jalen Ramsey. He likes to put guys in positions to make plays where the ball's going to be. Put athletic guys where the ball's going to go. And if they're having issues otherwise, God, Barros, that's a good idea. That's a good idea just to think, at least think about.
Yeah, I got to admit, one of my readers in a mailbag floated that idea. So it's a stolen idea, but I'm gonna keep it as
you,
mine.
You go with a Barros, and then when they do it and it looks terrible, you can just say, "And that wasn't me." I don't know. Some guy, social media.
Rick and Stockton. Yeah.
I like it. It just seems like they do have more talent at safety than they do in linebacker. I mean, certainly more healthy talent at safety.
Yeah, I mean, linebacker is an issue. You know how many healthy linebackers are on their roster right now?
I don't even know.
It's two. It's the rookie Tatum Bethune, and it's Jalen Graham, who they just poached from the Commanders practice squad. So a pair of seventh rounders in the last 2 years are their only healthy linebackers this week.
If D. Winters was healthy, he would be on the field. Like he was on the field, like he really would be playing, and that is not where they are right now. And again, we keep saying it, Sunday, and then a quick turnaround on our official turf. They're going to lose more people. Like they're going to be down some more people.
They did follow your advice with the Jalen Graham situation. That, you know, okay, we've got these two games coming up. We're short on linebackers. What if something happens in this Cardinals game? We're going to be short. So they did bring him in, but they haven't followed your advice on running back, or really going back to the draft, they haven't followed your advice on offensive tackle either.
So I'm always trying.
You're batting 333 right now.
I'm always saying, you know, guys might get hurt, guy. Kyle and John, I just want to raise my hand here and say, it is possible that guys get hurt playing football. And maybe you want to have other options if your guys get hurt. And they don't tend to listen to me. That's okay. I appreciate what they do. I'm sure they appreciate what I do. And I don't know if they appreciate you enough, Barrows. They should tell you how much they appreciate you.
I'm working here in 100 degrees heat, no AC.
Sweating it out.
No electricity. Yeah. It's bad.
It's 92 in San Francisco.
That's unbelievable. That's unheard of.
It's unbelievable. All right, Barrows, thank you so much. This is, I don't know why I'm thanking you. You're a co-host. You're just here. I'm not thanking you for nothing. Everybody, I think we covered a lot of things there. It's our second episode this week. We're going to get on a 2-episode-a-week run here. And I hope these shows do it for you. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. That's the show for today.